Good morning. Please stand either in body or in spirit for the call to worship. Be glad in God and rejoice, O righteous. Shout for joy, all upright of heart. God has multiplied our resources and blessed us with food for body and soul. God grants us power to comprehend love's breadth and length, its heights and depths.
Well, good morning and welcome to First United Methodist Church this wonderful summer morning.
It is good to be gathered together in the house of the Lord. We invite you to find the attendance registration pad. You should find it somewhere in your pew. If you would mind putting your name on that and then handing that down, share it with others. And it's okay to read that list and see who you're worshiping with this morning. Also, you should find a prayer card in the pocket of the pew that is in front of you. If you have a prayer request or a praise, a concern or a joy, mark it down on that little card. You'll have an opportunity later in the service to either bring that forward during a time of prayer, or you can even hold it up and one of our ushers will bring that forward for you.
Let's say the affirmation of faith together. We believe in God the Father, infinite in wisdom, power and love, whose mercy is over all his works, and whose will is ever directed to his children's good. We believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Son of man, the gift of the Father's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit, in the divine presence in our lives, whereby we are kept in perpetual remembrance of the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should manifest itself
in the service of love, as set forth in the example of our blessed Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth.
Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, from whom comes every morsel we eat and every gift we are moved to share, test us, challenge us, feed us, that our eyes may be opened to realize the bounty we receive from your hand. Our ears may be opened to hear the prophet's word, and our wills may be strengthened to follow fearlessly where Christ leads to your glory and for the benefit of all humankind. Amen. Please be seated.
As we join together and prepare our hearts for a time of prayer, did you notice that there are flowers on the altar this morning? Not only the beautiful flowers which were presented, but two little rosebuds, two pink rosebuds. You'll notice in your bulletin that there was a birth, great-granddaughters of Dennis and Peggy Ormseth, and not only is there one, there's two. It's twins. And how are they doing? Doing good? Doing well. So congratulations to you, and we share your joy in that. Again, as you have opportunity, we invite you to complete one of the prayer registration cards if you would like to bring forward one of your prayer concerns. We want to keep in our mind the family of Gail Stokes, whose service was this last week. We want to continue praying for them as they celebrate the life of such a great lady. It was just brought to our attention this morning that Sue Tarter has been in the hospital. I'm not sure if she still is in. Judy, do we know if she has been dismissed? She's still in. She's home? Okay, so Sue is home, and that's good news, but we want to pray for her and for all who are struggling with illness. And we want to lift up our world today as we continue to move forward in a time when many areas of this world are rather fragile in these days. Let us continue to pray for all of those who are in places of danger, for all of those who are traveling, and for our vacation Bible school, which starts tomorrow morning. You'll hear a little bit more about that as we go along this morning. Now, let us join together in our prayer song. Please turn in your hymnals and join together in Christ Alone.
Thank you.
O gracious and glorious God, you who have brought us together to worship in this beautiful place today, on a beautiful summer morning, surrounded by beautiful people who you have created, Lord, we give you thanks. We praise you, God, for all that you do for us each and every day. And we confess, Lord, that there are times when we tend to take for granted the incredible blessings that we have from you. So hear us now, God, as we confess to you where we may have fallen short, and receive us as your saved and chosen people. Allow us to run into your arms just as joyful children would run into the arms of their loving parent, without fear and without hesitation, and with just this incredible desire to know you more, to draw closer to you and to love you. And God, if you could use this worship service today to increase that feeling in our hearts, oh Lord, we would be so grateful. We pray for all within our family of faith who are struggling with illness, with exhaustion, with depression, with worries and concerns, with strained relationships and strain in our homes. And we pray not only for those of us who are in this room and for those who we know personally by name, but Lord, we lift up to you all on this planet who are your children. We know that there are people who do not benefit from the kind of safety and freedom that we have living here in Roswell. So we pray for those who are in very different circumstances and ask you to help us remember that we are not the only ones on this earth, and motivate us to share what you have given to us that we might improve the lives of those around us, even people who we've never met, faces we may not recognize, customs that may be strange to us, God, fill us with love and compassion for all of your people worldwide. We thank you for blessing us so abundantly. The very fact that we can be here in church today, Lord, shows that we were able to take a breath this morning, and we were able to find a mode of transportation and get ourselves here to church. So, God, we thank you for that. And we ask now that you would guide us in our worship, that all we do and say would be pleasing to you, bring glory to your Son, Jesus Christ, and fill us with your presence that we may carry it with us throughout the coming week. So God, speak to us, touch us, encourage us, and love us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our worship continues as we have opportunity to bring back to God a portion of that with which he has blessed us. So as our ushers come forward to receive this morning's offering, let us pray together and ask God's blessing upon that. Lord, we know that what we give is only a result of what we have received from you. So God, we ask your blessings upon our tithes and our offerings. Use it to further your kingdom work. Bless and multiply what we give, and awaken within us the realization that we can give not only with money, but with our time and our prayers and our presence and our witness. We thank you, we praise you, and we give to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. take a moment to greet those we are worshiping with this morning, and I invite the children to come on forward and get ready for the children's time.
Can I go to the bathroom?
Can I? Nope.
Are you back at, to normal, sort of, or you're not back at work?
I'm back at work.
They're still working.
Okay, everybody, come well, sit down here for a minute. Sit here for right now. Just sit here.
Okay.
Invite any of the children who are here to come up this morning. We have a little something special for you today. The kids from Sunday school class this morning have a special presentation for you. So before we get started with that, let's just review a little bit. Okay, does anybody know about something exciting that's going to start tomorrow? Okay, your response did not match the excited look on my face. So we'll try again. Does anybody know something really exciting that's going to happen tomorrow?
Yay!
Tomorrow begins Vacation Bible School. And if you haven't had an opportunity yet, I invite everybody to go down this back hallway over here and see if you notice anything different. Because the church is beginning to change. It is morphing into a factory of creation where God makes all of us. So be prepared that tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, we start VBS, and it'll be 9 to noon every day, Monday through Friday this week. We encourage you, bring your kids and your neighbors and your, like, ask them first, but bring kids and neighbors and kids, and, because we are, it's going to be fun. It is going to be way fun. So this morning, though, we're continuing our sermon series about fish stories. And our Sunday school participants from this morning have a fish story to share with you. So I'm going to ask if all of the nursery children will come on down here and other children come on down here. And if our not ready for primetime players would go and find your spot here. I'll come over here and get out of the way. Okay, this has been rehearsed for a very strenuous 15 to 20 minutes. So be prepared. This is pretty good stuff here. After this, Jesus went across the Galilee Sea, that is the Tiberias Sea. A large crowd followed him because they had seen the miraculous signs he had done among the sick. Jesus went up a mountain and sat there with his disciples. It was nearly time for the Passover. It was nearly time for the Passover, which was a Jewish festival, which is like a party. Jesus looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him. They were large. He asked Philip, "Where will we buy food to feed these people?" Jesus said this to test him, for Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "More than half a year's salary worth of food wouldn't be enough for each person to have even a little teensy, weensy, eensy little bit." Then one of his disciples, Andrew, which is Simon Peter's brother, said, a youth that I just found in the crowd, this youth here has 5 barley loaves. He has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, which may not be completely dead yet. He has 2 wiggly fish. But what good is that for a crowd like this? Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And they did so because there was plenty of grass there. They sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Jesus took the bread. When he had given thanks to God, he distributed the bread to those who were sitting there. They were so happy to have bread because barley was their favorite. And he did the same thing with the fish, with each person getting that wiggly fish and consuming it until they each had as much as they wanted. Oh boy, were they full of fish and barley loaves. It was better than Thanksgiving. When they had had plenty to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover pieces so that nothing will be wasted." So they started gathering. They gathered, and they gathered, and they gathered, and they gathered some more, and then they gathered until they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves that had been left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw that he had done a miraculous sign, they were astounded and had shocked looks on their faces because they were so astounded. And they like waved their hands around and put their hands in the air like they didn't care because they were astounded. And they said, "This is truly the prophet who is coming into the world." Jesus understood that they were about to come and force him to be their king. So he took refuge alone again. Sorry, I went a little extra. And took refuge again alone on the mountain. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Stand, please. All right. Let's gather around and have a prayer. Oh God, we thank you so much for your word, that you have given us these stories so that we might know you and know your son, Jesus Christ. And help us remember every time we eat a piece of bread or a piece of fish, that one time you fed a whole bunch of people just with a little bit. Because you are the God who provides. We give you thanks and praise in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Will you stand as you are able for the reading of the Holy Gospel? The Gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. We think of it as the feeding of the 5,000. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were satisfied, he told the disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. It's kind of disorienting to see people who should be behind me out there. It looks like we've got a lot more people here today, but I suspect you've just moved out there. But I'm very happy that you didn't just stay home, which some choirs have a reputation for doing. So I'm glad that you are here. Well, today we are continuing our series on fish stories. And so far we've discovered things like Jonah and the whale, and Jesus fishing with the disciples at the Sea of Galilee, and a fish with a coin in its mouth. And then we had a story from Bob Pottle about somebody that caught a big tuna off the coast of May. In fact, you know, this sermon series has been so successful that before it even started on the very first Sunday, Dick Goodwin and Jim McDivitt were so excited about it that they took that Sunday off and went fishing up in Colorado. And I never did hear if they caught their limit or not. But I don't know of anybody who's gone fishing that has not gone with the hope of catching their limit and then coming home with a whole cooler of fish. And enough fish to eat for a long time. So I'm not much of a fisherman, but my father was a really good fisherman. And I went fishing with him a lot when I was younger. And I only remember one time catching my limit, and I was probably about 10 years old. And we were out on a boat at Elephant Butte with my father and my Uncle John and my cousin. And we weren't catching anything. We were out there all day long. That was kind of typical for that, for our fishing trips. But my Uncle John, kind of late in the afternoon, happened to anchor the boat over a spot where there must have been a whole school of crappie because they were biting. And as soon as we threw our hooks off into the water, we started catching fish. And as fast as we could bait our hooks, we were pulling them in right and left. The fish were just biting like crazy. And when we ran out of bait, they were still biting the bare hooks. At least that's the way I remember it. It was an extravaganza of fish catching. And I don't know what the limit for crappie was in those days, but there were 4 of us, and I know we had a whole boatload of fish. Well, it's been a long time since I've eaten any crappie, but what I remember is that they're not as good as trout. But they are a lot better than the fish that I ate that came out of the Sea of Galilee on our trip to the Holy Land a couple years ago. We actually spent the night at a very nice hotel in Tiberias, right on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the next morning we got out very early and we went on a boat ride. And there were, and in the Sea of Galilee, they still fish with nets the same way pretty much that they did in Jesus' time. And the fish that they catch is called St. Peter's fish. Now, I want to tell you that you have to be pretty hungry to eat one of these. They're about the size of a pretty big crappie, but they have a lot more bones. It's sort of a cross between a carp and a crappie, as near as I can say. And when we had our meal at the Sea of Galilee, they didn't have any tartar sauce either. So, but this would be the same fish that Jesus fed to the crowd of 5,000 that we read about in the scripture today. That time when he started out with two fish and five loaves of bread, and they probably didn't have any tartar sauce then either. So Jesus looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him. And it was about the time of the festival of Passover, and Jesus decided to feed them. And Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test them, because Jesus already knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, "Are you kidding me?" Okay, I just put in that part myself. 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread to feed all these people. Now, the other Gospels tell us that it would have taken 200 denarii, or 200 days' wages, to buy food for all those people. That's working for almost a year. And so one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has five barley loaves and two fish. Will that work?" Now, this part about the boy is not in the other Gospels either. So it's hard for us to know the details of what happened that day. As we sit here 2,000 years later, we really don't know where all that food came from or exactly how it got here. But the Gospels tell us that what happened that day was a miracle. Jesus had everybody sit down, and then Jesus took the loaves and, hold on. Where's the loaves? Yeah. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, and also the fish, and the crowd managed to eat as much bread and fish as they wanted, because somehow Jesus had put together an abundance of food, and the people were satisfied with the meal that had been given to them. Now, isn't that a wonderful and comforting image for those of us who love the Lord? It speaks to the divinity of Jesus, the unlimited power and resources that Jesus has at his disposal. It's a miracle we can't understand with our scientific minds, but since we Christians believe in miracles, we shouldn't be too troubled by that. But we need to remember, though, that for a non-believer, or someone who is just really struggling to believe, this story and the other miracle stories might be a real problem, a real stumbling block. For them, they might see this as the justification of why they don't believe. They might think of it as an example of biblical fiction. But you and I know that our understanding of the wisdom of the Word of God develops over a lifetime of contemplation, as God gives us the ability to think and know God better. God has given us the freedom to interpret the Word of God as we are able. And we can keep trying to figure it all out, or we can stop trying to figure it all out and just accept the grace and mercy of a God who will feed us no matter what. I like what one writer wrote about this scripture. Some people would really like, and they really think that Jesus changed those loaves of bread and did something magical that made the loaves and the fishes multiply on their own. It's like the loaves and the fish were transformed and became an endless supply. But others suggest that what the miracle that really happened that day was in the selfish hearts of 5,000 men. That when these 5,000 men saw the example of a young boy sharing his meager 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, these men were inspired to look in their pockets and share the food that perhaps they had brought with them, which they had not been willing to share before. Perhaps the miracle was not about the loaves themselves, but about the transformation of 5,000 selfish hearts. Which would be the greater miracle? The altering of the molecular construction of bread, or transforming 5,000 selfish hearts? And if we're willing to go beyond worrying about the details, we can open ourselves up to truth that is meaningful and relevant for our lives today. And that's really important because we have our own fish to fry, so to speak. For example, there are some overwhelming issues that face us at First United Methodist Church here in Roswell, such as, and not limited to, how do we make our church into a better spiritual environment for the spiritual education and development of our children and for our children's children? Where will we find the money necessary in the years ahead to keep this building going? How do we spread the truth of Christ to people in Roswell who are not even certain who Christ is? In fact, the whole Methodist denomination is struggling with ways to deal with the drastic changes in society about morality and the way we live in our lives. Philip was pointing out a very real concern to Jesus. Those disciples sitting out there on the hillside long ago weren't prepared to take care of all of those people. They must have felt overwhelmed. And if we're serious about our responsibility to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, it is easy for us to feel overwhelmed. If we try to do it all by ourselves, we're going to run out of fish after the first 2 people. And so let me leave you with this. In our prayers, we usually pray for the many needs of this church, and for the Methodist Church, and for the Church of Christ worldwide. Because we know that whatever we can do by ourselves will not be enough. But our scripture this morning points out that not enough is not the final answer. When we place ourselves in the hands of Jesus Christ, we will find that whatever we have to start with will be more than enough. If we trust in Him, Christ will make it happen. The church will continue, the spiritually hungry will be fed, the unbelievers will always have a chance to come to Christ, the kingdom of God will reign upon the earth, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And so, this is the time during our final hymn, if you are willing to make a commitment, for the first time, or perhaps just come down and declare again your faith in Christ, we invite you to come forward during the singing of this hymn. Will you stand as we sing together? Thank you. Are visiting today, and you know, if maybe we just have not had a chance to speak with you personally in a while, be sure and stop and shake hands with one of us so we can properly greet you. So hear this benediction. May the peace of Jesus Christ be with you this week and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Okay.